10:37, and we're on our way now to round two, and what an exciting double feature we have here, because it's to Spokane Civic Theater, which is, Keith Dixon, how many years old?
68, 69.
Yeah, okay, so it's been around as long as me and longer than you. And
yes.
Keith Dixon, the artistic director of Spokane Civic Theater, and you are directing this opening show, Catch Me If You Can.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay, and kind of the same question we always ask, how and why do you choose an opening?
Well, you know, you're looking for, as George spoke about in the first segment, you're looking for some pizzazz. You're looking for something that's gonna wow, a bit of a wow factor. And with this one, you know, it became available, and I pretty much snatched it up immediately because I look at the name, you know, it's got name recognition from the film. It's got a great score. It's just fun. It harkens to back to Jack Parr, Ed Sullivan, and just this fabulous music. And it's a regional premiere. No one's ever done it around here. So it hasn't come through on tour or anything like that. So we're the first to get to do it, which mm-hmm. is really kind of cool. And it actually had its world premiere in Seattle at Fifth Avenue before it moved to Broadway. So, you know, it's got some connection to the region, larger region, but we're the first on this side of the state to do it. So, mm.
So a musical, and we're about to hear a little bit of the music from it. Describe an overview of the music. You mentioned the era of Jack Parr.
It's got a jazzy big band feel, and it actually borrows from different styles, musical theater styles, but in this 11-12 piece combo that's on stage. Visually, it's set up like a variety show, so it all kind of lends itself to that. The opening number, Live and Living Color, is just, it's high energy and a lot of fun. So it's glitz and glam. The whole show is glitz and glam.
And who wrote the music?
You know what? I'm not sure about who wrote the music. I knew you'd put me on the spot like that. I should have studied.
I mean,
but Terrence McNally wrote the book, so you're dealing with a well-structured script.
But are they new songs that were written for this?
Yes, yes. Okay. This is all original music.
Okay, good. Well, then let's go to that. So tell us about Seven Wonders.
Seven Wonders, in the second act, Frank Abagnale Jr. has been on the run. He's flown more than 5 million miles with Pan Am. He's written millions of dollars in bad checks, and now he's fallen in love. And that's what this song is about.
As Frank Abagnale Jr. is Cody Bray, and as Brenda is Amber Fiedler, the pianist Henry McNulty. Let's go to the studio.
You're the Harvard graduate world traveler, and I'm just ordinary.
Ordinary is beautiful. I don't need Paris. I don't need a fancy restaurant. All that other stuff was just what I found along the way while I was looking for you. I've seen the seven wonders, if you give or take a few. But all them seven wonders, well, they can't compare to you. I've been a lot of places. Yes, I've traveled near and far, but now I know that home is where you are. Niagara Falls, a leaky faucet.
What?
That a plumber ought to fix. And the pyramids?
Yes.
Are really just a dusty pile of bricks.
Oh my goodness.
Taj Mahal, a fixer-upper. The Grand Canyon, just a hole.
You seem to know everything.
The Grand Canal in Venice, an Italian toilet bowl. I've seen the seven wonders, if you give or take a few. But all them seven wonders, well, they can't compare to you. I've been a lot of places. Yes, I learned how near and far. Now I know that home is where you are. The Aurora Borealis
is just a nightlight on the Fritz.
The Stonehenge,
it's just a bunch of rocks.
The Bray is tar, the pits.
How about the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Looks like something up and broke.
Mount Rushmore.
Someone climb up there and tell them, boys, a joke. Yes, my traveling days are over. Get the check, I'll pay the bill. 'Cause I see all the wonders in your eyes, just standing still. Do you think you could go home again if you were engaged?
Frank, come on, don't tease me.
Would you go see your family and tell them we're in love?
My father is very intimidating. You'll change your mind.
I won't. We could run away tonight.
We can't just run away. You're the overnight ER supervisor.
The clock's ticking, Brenda. I don't want to be a doctor forever. I want to make a home with you. I've been a lot of places, but I've learned how near and far. There's no need to roam, 'cause home is where you are.
There's no need to roam, 'cause home is where you are.
Yes, now I know that
home is where.
Seven Wonders, sung in our studio by the first singer, Cody Bray, in the role of Frank Abagnale Jr., and Amber Fiedler singing the role of Brenda, clearly the love interest, with Henry McNulty playing the pianist. Okay, I'm going to start with you, Cody Bray, not only because I know you and I know I can give you a hard time, but as Frank Abagnale Jr., and given your spotted past, are we supposed to believe anything that you just sang?
No, this is actually the real moment in the show where he trusts her to even say, you know, I feel comfortable to be myself around you. And he really genuinely believes that he can be himself under these assumed identities. But this is where he's actually confessing his love to the girl that he loves, that he made a mistake because of this girl, so it's true.
But by comparing her to the seven wonders of the world,
it's a
slick line.
It's a tasteful phrase to kind of build her up. But Frank is a swooner, and so, but everything's genuine. It's just a playful game he likes to play, because at this point he's 18 years old and he's not that old.
Yeah, okay. And then Amber Fiedler, who in the role of Brenda, who is Brenda? Are you just some unsuspecting little girl bring the mic a little closer to you. Some unsuspecting little girl that the rich guy is after?
Well, I mean, I was lost. I mean, I was in love at first, and I thought it was, and then it didn't work out. He wasn't very nice, and so I ran away from home, and I started a new life in Atlanta, becoming a nurse, and I wasn't looking for love, you know. I was focused on my career, and then he came along and took my heart away, and I think that's kind of the good thing about Brenda, is she's kind of like this awkward, like, nurse. She's not sexy like all the other nurses are. She's not this, and she walks in, and that's what Frank falls in love with, is this real girl that just...
I think that's what makes it work is the fact that he has spent all this time putting together a life that is glitz and glam. I keep coming back to that phrase, glitz and glam. And she's the one that's got the substance. And that's, I think, is part of what's appealing for him about her.
Now, so this is relationship between Frank and Brenda. Is this the show? Is it essentially a two-person show?
On some level, it's a two-person show, but not these two. She is part of the reason that he is able to come clean, or is forced to come clean. But you've got Carl Hanratty, who's the FBI agent. It's really their show. It's Frank's show, and that relationship between those two men coming at life from two opposite angles. One who is all about the rules and never breaking them, and the other one who has broken every rule, and how they are connected to each other, not just in this cat and mouse game, but but emotionally, it's almost a father-son relationship in the end. And what actually happened in real life with these guys, you know, Frank went to work for the FBI because of Hanratty. So it's,
well, this is based on a true
story? This is based on a true story. It's based on the musical is based on the film, the Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks film, which is based on a true story.
Oh, that was about the guy.
Yeah,
that's
what this is.
That turns. Oh, that film. Okay.
Yes,
I see.
That's what this
that
is.
Film turned into a musical.
Yes.
Okay. Then.
So that, you know, it's that, it's that. To me, it's a little bit of that father-son connection, and the musical focuses more on Frank's origin story, other than and not just the way he got away with it. The father. In particular, plays an extremely important role throughout
the
show. Frank's father.
Frank's father. Okay.
Plays an extremely important role throughout the show. And there is this through line with Frank about family, about this need for family. And one of the things he sees in Brenda is genuine family. And then that is supported by what he experiences when he does meet her parents and so forth. Now, he's got to figure out how to come clean or is hoping to be able to walk away. Really what he wants to do is walk away and let it just all be done, because he's a kid. He's a kid. He does not understand consequences at this point. You know, how many of us at 18 truly understood what consequences meant? And that's where he is. So
there's a little bit, there's some depth. There's some things that we're going to take away from this.
There's
show.
Some depth, but you know what? It's a good old time. It's yeah. Come have fun. Every night of rehearsal, I walk away with a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. Even if it's been a very difficult day and I'm walking into rehearsal, I'm like, oh, goodness, what are we going to do tonight? How are we going to do this? How do I get? And these guys just bring energy and bring a work ethic. This is one of the hardest working casts I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And they have really, and they genuinely care about each other and are, you know, looking out for each other and the show. And so it's just been a really good experience. And with, you know, having the chance to work with Henry as my music director and Heidi Cartwright as the choreographer, I think we've made a pretty good team and we've got a group of people who are supporting that.
You know, we're hearing right now from Keith Dixon, the artistic director of Spokane Civic Theater. Catch Me If You Can, which opens a week from now. We had to rush it in because we're spending all next week with the Spokane Symphony. It opens on the 18th of September, runs through October 18th. And after the opening, we'll talk about that in a second, is then the same formula that we were talking about that Modern has. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock for the showtime for the 4 weeks of this run. It's actually five weeks. It's five weeks of a run. And let's bring in Henry McNulty here, because you're the music director for this. First, tell us a little about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I essentially teach the music and play piano for the show. For this production, I'll actually be up on the bandstand conducting. Mm-hmm. We have a very large pit, although not in the pit for this show. We have a classic 60s style bandstand in the back with all the musicians visible.
Just the way a TV show would be.
Yes, exactly. That's kind of the look we're going for.
Yeah, and how many in the band?
It's 11 pieces.
Okay, so it's a bunch. So then you're leading that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and what's some of your other work with Civic? Because aren't you doing some more shows than that this year?
Yes, I am. I'll also be music directing Little Women and then Ghost, the season closer.
Do you have a day job?
Yes. I record audiobooks.
Oh, you do? Okay, with that lovely diaphanous voice that you have. And so, but in terms of the musical stuff, you're pretty committed to directing musical theater and playing piano and this stuff?
It's certainly become a big part of my life, yeah.
Sneaked up on you a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, I hadn't done a show for a long time until Nonsense at Civic this past season, Nonsense Amen. And now I'm doing three of the four main stage musicals for Civic, so I think that's wonderful, and I'm happy to be doing that.
You came down with the disease.
Yes, we brought him over to the dark side.
There's no escaping now.
Yeah, good. That was the music director for this show, Henry McNulty. Back to you, Keith Dixon. A couple other fun things that you're looking forward to this year.
Well, Oh, goodness. I think the whole year is kind of exciting. We've got Evil Dead downstairs, which is just, you want to talk about fun. It's, you know, it's based on the cult slasher film from the 80s. It's, you know, lots of blood, lots of camp, lots of gore, all rolled into a musical. And then we've got Sordid Lives downstairs. We've got, Henry spoke of Little Women. We've got White Christmas, Ghost, Fox on the Fairway, Dangerous Liaisons. It's just, I think it's a very interesting season for us, varied, and just some shows that are exciting and fun to be a part of.
Okay, now I'm to keep up. Upstairs, is everything musicals? Or
No. We do have two plays. Dangerous Liaisons and Fox on the Fairway, which is a comedy, and then everything else, Catch Me If You Can, White Christmas, Little Women, and Ghost are all musicals.
Clearly musicals are more expensive, more difficult, more factors involved. Are you pretty driven simply because that's what the audience really goes out for? How do you balance that?
That's part of coming into the job. You know, I'm only a year into the job, and these kinds of jobs take 2 or 3 years to really figure out. I'm not sure. First and foremost, we're driven by good work. We want to do the very best work that we can, and the mission dictates that. The formula that has been set up, that has been laid out before us for some time now, is musical-centric. And yes, is there more of an audience for musicals? Yes, usually there is. But we're going to find a balance as we go, and we're going to find a way to put together the best season that we can, whether that's, you know, all musicals or 3 musicals or 4 musicals or whatever. You know, that's what we're going to do. As long as we're looking towards our mission, I think we'll be fine there.
Mm-hmm. And then you one little side light on what are you doing Christmas Eve?
We're in the works to do It's a Wonderful Life at the Bing. And we're excited that you guys are going to help us broadcast it.
Yeah,
it's a radio play.
We're looking for the radio play of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
We're talking about doing together.
Yeah.
So that's the sneak preview there for the
There you
whole
go. We just kind of rolled that out.
Yeah. So it is Catch Me If You Can opening a week from Friday. That's the 18th. Talk about the gala briefly.
It's our opening night gala. It is $75 a ticket. It's dinner. It's a little bit of dancing after the show. It's champagne and dessert post show. It's a good time. Delta Airlines and Spokane International Airport are our sponsors for the show, and they've really helped us out to make this happen. Wild Sage, Window 21 Window is providing a specialty drink, and it's just going to be a great time. The dinner is going to be served at 6, beginning at 6. We'll be eating outside, al fresco, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time. We've kind of upped the ante a little bit this year. We've got a jazz combo that's going to be playing before the show. We'll have our silent auction. And we've got our post-show event as well, kind of a party, just to extend the entire evening and really make it an overall event surrounding the show.
That's the gala on the 18th Civic Theater, opening its season a week from Friday. Thanks to everybody for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
For this.